Welcome to Houseplant Homebody. I'm your host, Holly, and I'm here to tell you all about my favorite things, plants. Are you ready? Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 91. This is about a plant that I have been pronouncing wrong this whole time, including my social media. In fact, I filmed a reel this weekend before I recorded this and did the research on this. And in that reel, I'm definitely pronouncing it wrong. So I always pronounced this plant as calancho. It is actually calanchoe is how you pronounce it. Calancho made so much more sense to me, but calanchoe is what it is. Calanchoe also makes sense looking at how it's spelled, but we are talking about calanchoe in episode 91 today. And this is a very fun episode because when I was initially thinking of what this episode was going to be, I was initially thinking, oh, the beautiful flowering calanchoe. But guess what? That is only probably one of the varieties. There are hundreds, probably thousands more. Yeah, probably thousands, let's be honest, more of calanchoe. And that does not include the flowering varieties. The flowering varieties is only like a couple main ones, and we're going to go over those. But as I go through all these lovely Latin names, bear with me. I am going to list some of the more popular ones off, and then there's a little bit more extensive list on the blog. Doesn't even include probably half of them, but more or less what you'll see in garden centers, or maybe even what you'll see in greenhouses or conservatories and stuff like that is what I am listing off. But calanchoe is really beautiful. So when I thought of calanchoe, or when I think of calancho, I always initially thought about the flowering one, and I kind of forgot about the succulent side of things. The succulent calanchoe is actually very popular, so I don't know why my mind went straight to the flowering thing, but it's probably because you see them a ton right now, which, guess what, is why I'm going over this plant right now, because you see a ton of them blooming in spring. That is why we're reviewing it. So, in the comments on this podcast or the blog, please tell me, when you think of calanchoe, do you think of the flower or did you think of the succulent? I really want to know. I didn't know if I was the only one that just kind of thought about the flower, forgot about the succulent. I'm not a huge succulent person. That's probably why, but let me know. Or if you think of a specific variety, tell me. I'm going to ask the same thing on Instagram when I post about this. So tell me there too. So botanical name, obviously calanchoe. The common name is calanchoe. Depending on the variety, you have chandelier plant, devil's backbone, mother-in-law plant, which there's mother-in-law's tongue, which is snake plant. This is mother-in-law plant, mother of millions, mother of thousands. So some of those relate to specific varieties. Few of the varieties I'm going to list off, I'm just going to do probably about five of them just because these are the main ones you're going to hear about or you're going to see or shop for when you're out in garden centers. All calanchoe, I must say calancho again, calanchoe. But there's really only one big blooming one that you see out there right now. There's tons of colors, variation to the flowers and all that good stuff. But there's also variation in texture, foliage color for the non-flowering ones too. So these plants are very interesting. It's not something to forget about, that's for sure. There's a lot of fun things with calanchoe. On my blog post, I do have mostly pictures of flowering versions, but I found some from the past of some varieties of the non-flowering version that are on the social media. So if you want to see a few varieties go on there, at the bottom of the blog post, or even if you just search it online, if you want to see some pictures of what these look like, I would trust Mountain Crest Gardens. They do a lot of succulent and cacti. They're a plant shop kind of online. Obviously, I'm all about shopping local, but if you want to go see pictures, that would be a good place to start. If you just go to their website, Mountain Crest Gardens, and then type in calanchoe, you'll find a bunch of them and what they look like. So let's start with the different varieties. How about that? Okay, so bear with me, but the first one we're going to talk about is calanchoe. Man, I almost said calancho again. Calanchoe, Blasfeldiana, I believe. This variety is the main one you're going to see at the garden centers, plant shops. What are they called? Oh, like Home Depot, those kinds of stores. This is what you're going to see as the flowering version. You're going to see this the most right now. And now for specific cultivars, I didn't really find anything crazy. I found on Mountain Crest Garden website, they had whatever color it was, they had flaming in front of it, or they had like a name, kind of like a flaming pink, flaming whatever. There's like flaming Katie or something like that was a specific color. But there's no other like specific cultivars I found. So just know that when you're buying the flowering one, it's the Kalanchoe Blossfeldiana. The next one is Kalanchoe Lady Viren's, I believe, which is also known as the Mother of Thousands. This is a very popular succulent version. So typically you're going to see a big leaf, and on the very edge of that leaf, you're going to see tiny little leaves on the edge of it. And it looks like it is the, you guessed it, mother of a thousand other plants. So that's another really popular one. The next one is called commonly Mother of Millions. It looks somewhat similar, but not quite the same. It has like the same kind of part where it has the extra little tiny leaves on the end of it. Not exactly as big of a leaf though. It is the Kalanchoe Delagonsis. So that is another one, Mother of Millions. The next one is very popular cultivar. It has a few different common ones. Panda plant, maybe you've heard of that one. It's really, really fuzzy. All of these are. Usually it has either brown dots along the edge or it's a brown edge completely, but when it is fuzzy to the touch. So panda plant, chocolate soldier, and teddy bear are just a few of the cultivars of this, but is Kalanchoe Tomentosa, I believe. And then the last one I'm going to reiterate here is Kalanchoe Lucii, which is commonly called paddle plant. These usually actually have really big leaves on them. And usually if you have it in a lot of sun, the edge of them gets a reddish or an orangish. It's very pretty. Nothing like the Mother of Millions with the extra leaves on the edge or anything like that. No fuzziness to it. It's just like your normal succulent leaf, but they tend to get big. And then the edges have probably a different color to them. So there are a lot more on the website. So some other common names, lavender scallops is one that has like a scalloped edge, kind of like the panda plant has a scalloped edge too, except that one's fuzzy. This one's just a purple edge to it. Some of them have a variegated feel to them or a variegated color to them. So there's some pinks and whites kind of mixed in, more of a muted, not so like stark variegation. Like a monstera or something, you know. Another common one, copper spoons. Literally, it has a copper color on the leaf to it. It's fuzzy usually. And then elephant ears is also a picture I have on there that I got from, I believe, the Milwaukee Domes. And that's just more of a wavier succulent leaf. So lots of varieties out there. That's just to name a few, but those kind of top five are probably what you're going to be picking from or buying from more than likely. The actual care requirements are not that tedious. So we are going to go into them. Obviously, we're going to discuss how flowering versions look like and how to take care of that, which is kind of the extra component to this. And then just some other facts. And I had one Instagram hot take, which is very exciting. So let's dive into the requirements. First things first, obviously sun requirements. Kalanchoe is a succulent in general, the flowering version or the herbaceous version, both of them succulents. So what do they require? What do succulents require? As much light as possible. Obviously, where I'm from in Wisconsin, the sun isn't going to be as hot or as crazy as it would be, you know, somewhere south. So for me, I could stick this in full sunlight and it would probably do really well. Even some of the colors would look a little bit more vibrant. Putting it into bright light is best. So like a grow light in your house if you have the opportunity, or a bright indirect light, whatever sunlight you can give it at its most is best. So for me, I'd probably put it under one of my grow lights. If I didn't have grow lights, I'd put it in a south window. So that is the sun recommendation. Probably wouldn't steer any less than that. If you put it in medium light, you're not going to get the color, the growth, or the vibrancy as you would in a bright light. So I would not recommend putting it under bright indirect light if you have the opportunity to. You could try it, obviously. Some varieties will probably do okay. Some are probably going to get leggy. Some probably won't bloom. It really depends on what you're going for and the purpose of it. But the more light you can give it, the better. If you need more guidance on what bright indirect light looks like, or any grow light recommendations or thoughts on that stuff, I do have a couple episodes and blog posts that are tagged in the blog if you need it. So I know that was short. There's only, what, a minute and a half. But it's kind of all there is to it with sunlight. Not really much up for debate there. Watering wise, also going to be a short explanation. It is a succulent, so it stores its own water. So it really requires you to water it very little, and it likes to be dried out in between waterings. And I would just keep that in mind. The number one cause of killing these is root rot for the most part. So just making sure you're having it in a well-draining soil so it doesn't get root rot, a draining pot so it doesn't get root rot, and just watering it when it is dry in between is going to be required. Since these are a succulent, they do not require extra humidity. They're typically from drier subtropical areas, so extra humidity is not required at all. If for some reason you have a very humid home, putting them in a lower humidity is probably going to be a little bit better than putting them in like super high humidity. The high humidity could potentially lead to other issues. Not necessarily root rot, but it could cause some pests, and it could even cause probably like a powdery mildew sometimes. It does happen. So just keeping that in mind. Moral of the story for those two, high light, low water. Got it. Fertilizer is not really a big explanation either. So I use Fox Farms Big Bloom liquid fertilizer for flowering plants, and I would use it for the flowering calancho. Again, I'd probably just use a little bit lower dose of it since it's a succulent, holds on to water, that kind of thing. I'd probably fertilize it a little bit less, and that's probably what I recommend for you. Succulent fertilizers may be best. I think you could still use an all-purpose fertilizer, but because it's going to store a little bit more moisture and nutrients, you don't need to do it as often, I think, and you don't need to do it as concentrated as like a foliage plant as much. So not a whole lot of instruction there either. Again, fertilizer, I think, is just based on opinion. So whatever you feel like using, if you'd rather go for a specific cacti or succulent fertilizer that you think is going to be way more helpful, or that you've proven that's going to be way more helpful, you go for it. Whatever works for you is best. I'm just saying you don't need to break the bank to do it. So if you're using the same fertilizer for your Monstera, you can use the same fertilizer for your succulents. Maybe you just change how much you do it and the concentration that you do it in. So there's that. We're going to move right on to propagation. So Kalanchoe is a type of succulent. So you're propagating with a leaf cutting, or you can do a stem cutting. Leaf cuttings are way more popular with succulents because a lot of times when you're moving the plant around, you end up losing a leaf or so. I don't think these are as delicate, let's say, as like a burrow's tail, for example, but leaf cuttings are a little bit more popular. You can do a stem cutting, but more than likely, in my experience, I've had better luck with leaf cutting for some reason. But anyways, you can do both. So you're going to cut just like the end of the leaf off of the stem. You're going to leave it out to dry, probably for a few days. It's called like callusing over. You could do the same with the stem. You're going to leave these out to dry simply because it will prevent root, it will help prevent any rot, and it will be able to harden off so that way it doesn't lead to the rot. Which I just said the same thing twice. You know what I mean. It's going to prevent rot. That's the whole point. Because you're going to be sticking these in soil. You're not going to be sticking these in water. I mean, you could try sticking a stem cutting in water, but you're going to be way less successful than you would be in soil. So you want to make sure it calloused over. It's not too much moisture at the end of the stem where it's going to become a problem. That's the point. So leaf cutting, stem cutting, let it callouse over for a few days, and then put it in soil. I would say usually when you're propagating, you want to keep them in like high moisture. I would say keep it in medium moisture. You don't want it to completely all of the soil to dry out in between, but you do want to keep the moisture a little bit higher, just not super moist. Probably within a few months, you'll see roots that are long enough and big enough to sustain its own self as its own plant. And then you could probably knock down the watering a little bit and start acclimating it more to the environment it's going to be getting consistently. Once the root system gets strong enough, that's when it can survive the drying out between waterings and fertilizer and all that good stuff. So that's propagation. Okay, now I'm realizing this is a shorter episode than I thought it was going to be, because the actual requirements for it are not too complicated. And honestly, flowering, see, in my, I always thought this plant was way more complicated. I am not a fan of succulents 100% because I've always had problems with them. But it's just because I don't care enough, or maybe because like I tend to water everything or similarly around the same time. I think my one exception is easy plants and snake plants. I like wait another week. So for succulents, I feel like sometimes I underwater and then I feel like I'm compensating and overwatering. And then I just don't care enough about them. I'm more of a foliage gal myself. So my monstera's, philodendron, hoyas, that kind of thing I like better. I didn't even think to try one of these out very much just because it's not my cup of tea. But it seems to be fairly simple with the care side of things. It's just like ignoring it's probably better. And I think I wanted to not ignore it. And I think that's where, a lot of people struggle with these kinds of succulents and the plants like that. They don't want to ignore it, but it might be best to just ignore it. So anyways, we're going to dive into the flowering varieties and like how to get them to flower again. It's not really the variety specifically, but more or less how to care for the flowering types. And then we're going to go to the other facts and then the hot take that I got this week. All right. So for the flowering variety, which again is the Kalanchoe Lasaldiana, I believe. That variety is probably the main one that you're interested in if you're looking for a flowering variety of Kalanchoe. So usually you're buying these when it's just starting to bloom or in its peak bloom. So if the flowers drop off, don't be surprised and just kind of accept it because that's what it needs to do. And that's what it's going to do. It's not going to be blooming throughout the season. It's more of a spring bloomer and it's going to go back to foliage. And then that's when it gets complicated near the end of the year. So it needs to have a dormancy period, kind of similar to holiday cactus and poinsettias. So in this case, it's usually like mid-November. You want to place this plant in total darkness. And there were conflicting timing online, but on average it was like 14 to 15 hours a day it needs to be in complete darkness. So in light, it's really only in light about 9 to 10 hours a day, just about. So in probably the best way to do this is moving it into like your basement and putting it with a timed grow light. It doesn't need to be super bright light either in the winter for it too. So if you have it in a dark corner and then you have it, you know, have a grow light with some of your other plants in the basement, you could put it near the grow light. You don't need to put it directly under the grow light. I would just make sure the light is only on for that amount of time. It's the complete darkness that makes more of a difference than the sunlight part of it does. Putting it in your basement is another good option because the temperature needs to drop, also very similar to holiday cactus and poinsettias. So it needs to stay around 60 degrees Fahrenheit-ish. And if you have a basement, some people don't have a basement, like people in Florida, but if you have a basement, that would probably be the best place to put it, but, or like a closet or like the back of a room or something like that. That might be the best way to do it. Making sure you're putting it in a room that you don't go into very often. And then you could just put a timed grow light with it. So putting it in the basement is the best option, honestly, if you have the ability because of the temperature drop that naturally happens in a basement and the option of darkness because people are not down there constantly, usually, I guess, to each his own. But in my opinion, that's usually what happens. And then you want to reduce the watering to be expected. That's usually what's happening in the wintertime anyways. I guess if you want to put a timeline to it, it's probably watering every 3 to 4 weeks, like what you would normally do on a snake plant and stuff like that. And then obviously don't fertilize because it does need to go into dormancy. You don't want to be pushing out any new growth, which you're probably not fertilizing at this point of the year for a lot of your houseplants anyways, or at least if you are, it's very minimal. So just don't fertilize. Another good, comparison is oxalis. So like for me, my oxalis has popped up every year. I haven't seen any leaves quite yet, but I think it's a little early for me. And what I do is eventually all the leaves die off. I put it down in the basement. I have my grow light on it for like, it's probably about 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours a day. It's not directly under the grow light, but it's near it. And then eventually pops back up. I start watering it right about now again, and I start fertilizing it again right about now. So this is a good comparison too. And then probably once spring hits, which I know that varies kind of, but eventually you'll go back to the normal lighting, the watering, fertilizing in spring. I would probably say like maybe beginning of March, middle of March is probably a good time to start back up your normal routine for it and putting it back in the window that you had it or wherever you want to put it. And then it should, I do air quotes around this, it should start blooming again. So this may not work your first year because in its previous bloom time, it was in a very controlled environment. So it was in a greenhouse where they had the exact light they needed, the exact fertilizer, the temperatures were exactly what they needed to be, humidity, if they needed it, whatever. So it was all very controlled, watering schedules, you know, all of that stuff, very, very controlled. And then your house is just a wild card. It's like, what environment did you drop me into? This is not what I'm used to. So if it doesn't bloom, I wouldn't be surprised the first year. Now, some people have the ability to produce blooms just out of nowhere. So you could leave this plant in your window and it might bloom the next year by doing nothing extra just because Mother Nature decides that the sun needs to go down earlier at night, even though we all hate it. So it could just naturally happen too. So I think it just depends on how much effort you want to put into it. If you want to really make sure it flowers, putting it in the total darkness will probably give you a much better solution. Or I guess not solution, result, than trying to leave it in your current window. But that being said, if you don't want to put in the effort and you don't really have the space or the ability to get a grow light and keep it kind of confined and have more of a controlled environment for it, then leaving it in your window and just trying and seeing what it looks like the following year is probably the best route. I think the number one killer of these is overwatering. So as long as you remember that component of it, even especially into the wintertime or when they want to go dormant, that's probably key. So let me know if you've ever experienced this or got them to rebloom. I've had these before, but more as like a gift for a flower, and I didn't really like keep them beyond the flower. Because the foliage on the flowering varieties isn't that special. If you're going to get the herbaceous varieties, you're probably going to get something with more color, texture, or something like that. But if the point is to get it to bloom, then for me, I could easily just put this in the basement with like my oxalis and some of the other plants like my canna lilies and stuff like that that are downstairs, and it would just pop back up the next year. So that's, I think, the easiest thing to do is just to make sure you get it to bloom the following year. So let me know if that's happened for you or what you've done in the past. But that's how to take care of it on the flowering level. Not too complicated, to be honest, pretty similar to some of the other bulb plants or holiday specific plants as well. All right, let's move into the other facts and then we'll go into the hot take for Instagram. This is all part of the Crassulaceae family. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Sounds ridiculous, but it is. AKA the stonecrop family. So if you're a perennial gal like myself, you know that autumn joy or neon sedum is also part of the stonecrop family. So there are tons of genre in this particular family. Kalanchoe is one of them. So it's native to parts of Madagascar and parts of Africa. It says tropical Africa on here, so just making me second guess my humidity part, but nevertheless they can survive in a little bit humidity but prefer to be dried out. I'll put it that way. The common issues that you're going to find with this plant, which is something I thought maybe I should start including on more of these podcast episodes, just to help prepare you for the negative, not only the positive, but maybe prepare you for anything negative. I've said this multiple times, but root rot, number one. And honestly, that's number one for all succulents, to be quite honest. Snake plants too, and ZZ plants. I've killed both of those things with root rot before. Watering too much, which is crazy because I'm an underwater, but in that kind of situation, I thought, anyways, I was trying to compensate. Okay, anyway, root rot, overwatering. The second one that I've actually seen at the garden center is powdery mildew. If you don't know what that is, I've experienced this more on the landscape side of things than I have on the houseplant side of things. So like peonies or ninebark are perennials and shrubs in the outdoor world that actually get powdery mildew very easily. And usually there are some sprays out there that can help prevent this. But one good way to help prevent it inside is by making sure you have a very well-drained pot, well-draining soil, and you are staying low on the watering, very low amount of water, keeping it dry, all of those things will help prevent both of these issues. I would make sure when you get your plant, make sure you are checking the nooks and crannies to make sure you don't see any white powdery stuff on it. It doesn't really look powdery. I guess it looks like it's just like splotches of covered white. I know that could potentially look like mealybugs too. Mealybugs are a little like kind of pom-poms, but this kind of coats the surface of the plant, powdery mildew does. So maybe just check right away. Or if you're at a Home Depot or something, you see a couple of them with them, do not get the plant next to the ones that have powdery mildew. More than likely they have it already. You just can't quite see it. So just watch for it when you're buying it. And that, I don't know if there's a way to prevent it, obviously, in that level, but at least you can avoid trying to get it right away. Another little fun fact that I read about was in feng shui, Kalanchoe is said to bring positive energy to your home. So, I mean, everybody could use some more positive energy. So I'm pro Kalanchoe in for this particular situation. And then just one last thing, it can be toxic to pets. Pets in general, dogs and cats, but it can probably, it's worse when the pet ingests more of it. So if they catch a leaf or something, they might have some like in gastral problems. But if they ingest a ton of it, that's where the big issues start to arise. So as a heads up, if you need more information, I do have podcast episode 31 and the blog post that has more details. I always go to ASPCA website if you're curious. So that is my reliable source to go to. And those are the other facts. I'm glad I found some fun ones like that, like the common issues in the feng shui. That's always like a good little tidbit to throw into the end of the episode. So, Instagram Q&A. As always, I ask all of you specific questions, or lately I've been asking for your opinions and hot takes because I want to hear them, because I want to talk about it. Even if they're a crazy hot take, which I haven't gotten a crazy one yet, I'd like to know. So this time around, there's just one hot take. It was pretty when blooming, but I kill it every time. Succulents and I are not friends. So I tend to agree. In general, succulents and I are not friends either. And I think it's just because I'm more of a leafy gal myself. But it is very pretty when it's blooming. I just never put in the effort to try to make it survive after blooming. But I have gotten them before. So if you don't like them, don't get one. But if you're willing to try, then maybe that would be try some watering, like cut down on watering or change out the soil maybe a little bit. Like when you get it, put it in more of a well-draining soil, put extra perlite in it. So that way you can help prevent killing it. If you feel like you're underwatering it, then maybe it's time to try to get a tool that allows you to understand how much water is left in the plant so you don't want under or overwater it. But if you're not a succulent person, that's cool. You don't need to get one of these, but at least you learned a little bit more about Kalanchoe. So I would encourage anyone who's listening to this episode to let me know if you have an opinion about these beyond this one. And then let me know when I said Kalanchoe at the beginning of the episode, if you thought of the flowering version or the succulent version. I want to hear about it. Go to Instagram and Facebook and tell me on this post on Tuesday. Okay, that's the episode, guys. I hope you learned something and enjoyed this episode about Kalanchoe. And I hope you forgive me for pronouncing it wrong all this time. Okay, have a good day. Bye. Per usual, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the episode, literally what I just said. Few things I want to bring up. If you are not signed up for the quarterly newsletter, do so now. It comes out beginning of May, so make sure you do that. And then if you weren't aware, this podcast is back bi-weekly, but I will be including topical episodes and landscape episodes because I want to get back to what I love in general. And obviously I love houseplants, but my first love was landscape plants. So we're going to dive back into that. And since landscape plants span many, many hardiness zones, a lot of people that are listening to this will also be able to use the knowledge, and if not use the knowledge, at least have like an idea of like, oh, that plant looks cool. I wonder what's good in my hardiness zone. So we're going to get into it. As a precursor, I am in hardiness zone 5. I tend to make sure this hardiness zone plant is probably at the the lower end. So like a 4, I don't want a hardiness zone of like a 5 to a 9 for a plant because it's barely going to survive. So usually I'm looking for 4s and above. So, well, above doesn't matter. Lower matters. Anyways, so the next episode on April 16th is going to be forsythia. And that is because they're either already blooming right now, beginning of April, or they will be very soon. So forsythia is a great spring shrub. Usually they come in bright yellow. Foliage tends to be a little different depending on your plant. So I'm excited to get into it. I worked with a few different types at the garden center, and they grew all of their different varieties. So I'm interested to see when I dive into it, like the different brands, what kind of cultivars they have now that I've been out of the game for a few years. So forsythia is next. If you didn't know, I also have merch up online. I have some logo t-shirts. I have some fun designs. I have 2 really big designs right now are In My Plant and Coffee Era, which is very fun. It has a picture of a plant, a monstera leaf, and a coffee cup in the bottom of the sweatshirt. And then In My Plant, Coffee, and Books Era, because I know a lot of the people that follow Houseplant Homebody and talk to me also are big book people. So I wanted to include both of those. And then if you haven't seen my sweatshirt with the monstera varieties, I put that up on a t-shirt because it's going to be summer soon. I was like, I can only do so many crew necks. So anyway, all of those are up online. Go check it out. There is usually limited sizing, quantities per sizing, not limited sizing, quantities per sizing. So you might see some sizes sold out. I do have to say the crew necks that are online currently, they do shrink in the wash. So if you're a little bit, they seem baggy, like oversized when you first get it. But when after I washed mine, they ended up being kind of the correct size. So, I would say true to size, but if you want to bag your fit, go a size or two up. So just want to point that out. Yeah. Do I have anything else? I don't think so. I hope you enjoyed this episode. The next episode is forsythia, so make sure you get your questions out there. If you're in a different hardiness zone and want to know what plant looks similar or I can recommend something, I can do some research for you too. So any questions like that, give me your hot takes if you hate forsythia, if you absolutely love them and your favorite thing. If your neighbor has one that's really annoying to you, I want to hear about it. So, or if you have, you drive past this one place that had this giant one, send me a picture, all that good stuff. Also, I have only a few limited pictures of forsythia that I took, oh my God, probably 8 years now. So if you have a good picture of forsythia or you want to share any pictures that can go on my blog or when I'm posting about it on social media, please DM me or email me those pictures. I will obviously tag you if you want to be tagged on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever. I can do that on the website. So let me know. Send me pictures of your forsythia if you have them. That would be great, just so I can include more than like the 3 pictures I have. In the meantime, I'm probably going to try to find a garden center where I could go take more pictures of them, but they're blooming as long as they're blooming. And I don't even think they're leafed out yet. So that's probably my struggle. If you have a picture, let me know. Otherwise, I hope you guys have a lovely week. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you on social media. Have a good week. Bye-bye.